And eventually one day he fucking exploded on me. He's like, you're not listening to me. I keep telling you, I don't want to do this. I can't do this every week. We have to stop doing this. And you don't listen. You don't take me seriously. And I was like, oh, okay, Brian. He fucking blocked me on Facebook.
I blocked him.
No, your podcast feeds do not deceive you. After nearly like 12 months, almost a full year of being gone, you are now listening to a brand new episode of Recycle Bin. Now listen. For now, we're rebooting this as an audio-only podcast. That's just a plan. That's just the plan right now, but we reserve the right to change our minds in the future because we do what the fuck we want.
Yeah, fuck
also,
you.
Also, I have Burn with me.
Hi.
Hi, Burn. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
So this episode is a little bit different. Instead of going into like the tech news from the last week or whatever, I want to start off things with something that we've never done before, and it's actually interview you, Burn. I want to interview you.
Well, me?
Little yes, me? I want to interview Burn, Brian Shoup. Now listen, I'm going to say nice things about you because how interview goes with typical interviews, you got to have an introduction. I got to introduce you now before we go into the interview. So I'm going to say nice things.
Suck my dick.
Yeah. And then we're just going to move on. Okay.
Okay.
Forget that I said them.
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Burn. He's been my best bud for years since way before FPT. He's not only the editor of every single episode of Front Page Tech that you see, but he's also the co-owner of the company. And he's one of the most talented people in this creative space, and he doesn't get enough credit. Okay, that's it. Enough nice things.
Now let's get mean.
Okay, so obviously with FPT, most people think about me, I would assume. Unfortunately.
This is true.
Unfortunately for everybody. They associate FPT with me because I'm the one on camera. But Brian, you've never done an interview like this, I don't think.
No,
unless you did one behind my back.
You're taking my interview virginity, popping that cherry real hard.
The interview cherry?
Yeah.
Listen,
figure it's only right. It's somebody
really cool.
I know.
I thought it'd be really cool to sit down and ask you questions because I want to see what all of this is like from your perspective. I don't think the fans have any idea what it's like from your perspective. So I want to get all that stuff in this episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the fans see of me is when I tweet out random links to mid-90s rap songs at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. That's Need a little bit more information.
So obviously you're not on camera all the time.
No.
And you're not the one that people see every day.
No.
But you've been a part of, like, I'm pretty sure almost every episode that we've made of Front Page Tech, at least.
If I had to give a percentage, I would say I've probably been a part of 85 to 89% of everything that we've done. Like going all the way back. Would you agree? Like in terms of like,
I would definitely agree.
In the early episodes, even before, like, it was like, half mine or whatever.
Yeah, and in some capacity, I would say you've been a part of almost every single episode somehow.
Yeah, even without my knowing, I've been a part of more things than I haven't been a part of.
Yes, that I would say that's true. So listen, I got questions from me and then questions from Twitter. So actually like questions from the fans that they wanted to ask you.
Cool, sounds good.
Okay, so we'll start out with the questions from me. So you and I have been friends since school, right?
Yeah, high school.
But when? Like, when did this start? Because I remember we had a mutual friend, Brendan, if he's listening. Hi, Brendan.
That'd be crazy. Hello, if you are.
And I was jealous.
Yeah, but you didn't
tell me
this.
I wanted to be your friend, and he was friends with you, but he was better friends with you than I was.
Yeah. So we had a pretty interesting interest overlap, and you didn't tell me that you were jealous of him being my friend until years later.
I was jealous. I was a little jealous. So
Brendan was into video games, and then he also liked like nerdy little tech things like you liked. So you didn't like video games, but you liked little techie stuff.
Yeah.
And I liked video games, and did, you know, he was the middleman. And then we all like came together, I would say, on a school project.
Yes, I forgot about that. Yes.
I want to say, was that 10th grade? 10th grade? We were 16, I want to say. our history class?
Yes, that was 10th grade. But like,
yeah,
that's when we came together. But I, you and I were friends since like 7th or 8th grade, but like not friends.
We were like, yeah, we were school buddies because in 7th grade, we did another history for a different class, another history project
together. Dude, I
totally
forgot about this.
Yeah, yeah, we did
that.
We
were history project partners.
But that was like a one-off. We didn't really like,
When you came over, my fish died.
Yeah, that was one of the first things you said to me.
I had a beta fish, and Brian came over to my house to like work on this history project. We made what?
It was the city of Troy out of sugar cubes.
We made the whole thing out of sugar cubes and like Elmer's glue. But yes. I took him, I was like giving him a house tour, got to my room, and I was like, I had a beta fish in my room that I had for only a week. It was like in a little... Which is the worst place to put a beta fish. Like, this is, I don't know why people keep doing this to betas, but
yeah,
it was just in a little, like, typical tiny fish bowl with a blue light. Mm-hmm. Like, betas need heaters and proper water temperature.
It's a fucking tropical fish, living
yes.
organism.
And so, but I didn't know that. I was just like, oh, blue fish and blue light. Oh, it's so cool. Lights up my room at night. It's like a nightlight, but it breathes. And so, I took him over to the fish, which I swear was alive that morning. I swear it.
I'm sure it was.
But I looked at the fish and I was like, this is my beta. He's dead.
Yeah.
I found out as I showed Burn. And that was our introduction.
You know, I got to be honest. You took that really well, looking back. We just moved on. You're like, okay. My nightlight died.
Well, Burn, listen. It was seventh grade. I didn't want to show emotion.
Did you cry when I left?
I probably did.
Is that the other side of the story?
I went in the bathroom and cried by myself.
Give your fish a burial.
Okay.
Oh God. So yeah. So I would say that was the beginning. But I got to be honest. Before
the beginning
that,
of the end.
Well, before that history project, you were on my shit list in a big way. To be honest.
Excuse me. For why?
So you came to our school. I want to say in sixth grade, so the year prior to that history project. And you came from an arts academy where you were taught that you were a special snowflake.
Dancing and acting, I did, yeah.
Yes,
that was the thing.
You were very bright and loud and just obtrusive into my life. In sixth grade, I was like wearing a lot of black and listening to a lot of heavy music, and I was like, just shut up, John. Shut up, little John Prosser. And I was like, my God, you're so annoying. You're so loud and full of life and like enjoyable to be around for everybody else but me. And I remember when we got partnered up in seventh grade, I was like, and my first initial thought probably was like, ugh, here we go. So, well, boy, things turned out different, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. Here we are now. Out of like everyone in high school, you're the only one that I talked to.
This is true. Same here. Maybe, I think, to be honest, I think we're just bad for each other at this point.
I would not. I don't believe that.
I think we would have done better if we went our separate ways.
I don't think so. So we've been friends since way before FPT.
Yes, way before.
So since we were friends before FPT, we had high school and we graduated high school. FPT started in 2013.
Yeah, I would say around there, like January in 2013.
Yeah, January like 14th, 2013, I think.
Yeah.
But you were planning on doing something else before FPT. Like you were going to college.
I was in college, yeah.
What were you going to do before FPT? What was the plan?
I mean, I had as much direction as an 18-year-old could have that was like just starting college.
Mm-hmm.
But even then I was very undecided. Like I had started school that end of summer, like that, what's the one after summer? Fall.
yes. Fall.
And, between the start of class in like August or whatever. And then the February when I decided it wasn't for me, I had switched majors 3 times. Wow. So I started off psychology because I was already really like at that point I had I was already pretty conversational, and people would use me to vent to a lot. So I like, oh, maybe there's something here. Maybe I can, maybe I'm good at talking. Who knows? So I tried that, and then I was like, holy fuck, I need to get a doctorate to be able to be a psychologist. So I was like, fuck that. I like history. I'm gonna do history teacher stuff. Yeah, man. And then I did that for a little while, decided, fuck history. The past is the past, man. No one needs to reminisce. You got to move forward. I was like, what's moving forward all about? Business. So I went marketing for a few months. And then that's where it ended. I still think marketing was like the refined down idea of if I had stayed in school, I think I would have finished with marketing.
You'd have done that.
Yeah. And I still think that that's like a thing I'm interested in. I mean, even now, like, there's little bits of that in what we do with the show.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So I think that there's something there. I think that's like, if I wasn't doing Front Page Tech, and honestly, even if I'm still doing Front Page Tech, I could see myself going back to school and getting a marketing degree. I could see that happening.
Yeah, if this all crashes and burns.
Even if it doesn't, if we're super successful and we have oodles of money, piles of cash on the floor that my cats sleep and poop in,
yes,
I will use that money, because you shouldn't just rely on YouTube. Diversify.
Right.
I would get a degree in marketing.
Because I had started FPT and you were still going to college.
I was, yeah.
And you spent the weekends at my house, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't like we were growing in friendship that summer after our senior year, before I went to college. That was where like our friendship really like took hold and blossomed.
Yeah. We had a third person in the friendship, and we had a YouTube channel where we did like short films and stuff.
Right. And we sort of had a fallout with that friend, and through that we became closer.
Yeah.
And I remember I was going through shit a lot. And you were going through some shit. So like I think through that we kind of just bonded a lot. Yeah. And like I became close with your family. And things just kind of like connected. And through that, I think was kind of the beginning of like everything, I would say.
I would agree.
Yeah.
From you going to college and like you were spending the weekends at my house, that's when you started to like be more a part of Front Page Tech, like in terms of like literally on the show. And within the first 10 episodes, I'm pretty sure you were in one of the episodes. Like,
yeah. So the way it worked, I remember this very vividly. I would spend the weekends with you. You would pick me up after my classes ended on Friday, usually before, like, I was only home for a few hours on the weekend because of the situation I was in. I didn't want to be there. So you would grab me and we'd spend the whole weekend there. And then Sunday night, you would take me back because I had class in the morning. And before you took me back, we filmed FPT. And then I was usually behind the camera. I started off as me helping you or just sitting in. And then eventually I was like yelling at you from behind the camera. So that was how that started.
And you stopped going to college. So what caused that?
So it was a mixture.
I'd say that happened early on in FPT.
Yeah, I want to say I dropped out in February of 2013. Right. That was a mixture of not liking what I was doing. Like I said, the issues, my home life at the time was bad. Because I had moved out on my own and it was just a mess. Really, really bad decision. If you don't have a plan when you move out for the first time, kids who are listening, rethink it. Seriously, it's a mess. It's hard. Anyway, so it was a mixture of that, liking what you were doing, and then what, you know, subsequently I was doing with you, and then realizing maybe there's something here.
Right.
There was nothing there yet. I'm talking like what Front Page Tech had a couple hundred subscribers, like.
Yeah,
there was like nothing there yet, nothing of any substance.
And I remember a very specific conversation with you downstairs, where I was like, "What would you think, or how would you feel about like doing half of this with me?" That was like our earliest talk of, us splitting it in a way.
I honestly don't remember that. I gotta be honest.
It was okay. So this might jog your memory. We were downstairs and we were talking about the website, because there was a Front Page Tech website.
Yeah.
And within that same conversation, we talked about for a second, you were going to do articles on the website.
Oh,
for each episode, there was going to be an article.
And I actually was writing those. Yeah, I did that for a while.
So in that conversation was when we were like, what if we split this in a way?
Okay, I'm remembering that a little bit. I definitely remember the articles. I remember writing those.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because you would write them, and I used them when we were recording the show.
Yeah, I remember you use those as a loose script, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I mean, Brian, you were in the room when we came up with the name Front Page Tech.
Yeah, we were like spitballing.
In a way, you're the reason that it's named what it is, because I was going through a list of names. Uh-huh. All of them were bad. All of them
were
taken.
Or the good ones were taken.
Yeah. And just like it clicked in my head about like newsy for the front page of the news and tech. Uh-huh. And I didn't know if it was good. I was like questioning myself and I just said it out loud and you're like, nope, that's the one. That's the one. And we looked it up and somehow, some way it wasn't taken.
Yeah.
And
I wish I had a better memory of this. I wish I had a more clear recollection of this event. Like, I remember sitting in your room talking about it, but I don't remember the moment.
I remember exactly where you were at the computer.
Yeah.
And in my room, I had a keyboard.
Uh-huh.
An electronic keyboard, like I'm talking piano-type keyboard. Not
it was mine that keyboard. I gave you in trade for an iPhone 4S.
Yes, yes! I forgot about that, yeah. That's where I was sitting. And I had a notebook where I was going through the names, and you were at the computer. I don't know if you're playing a game or...
I was probably playing a game and then also looking up if something was taken with you.
Yeah. And that's how the name Front Page Tech happened. Like if Brian hadn't been like, yeah, that's the one. We're going to use that one. Then who knows what it'd be fucking named. Probably something awful.
You know what? It probably would have ended up creative something. Creative or like Tech Basics or something
like
that.
Yeah, Basics was like, so we had a YouTube channel before that called Creative Basics with an X. The end of Basics.
Cool.
That was like my thing. Because before that, I had another website called Geek Basics. So
which
that was
quite popular, actually.
Yeah.
People like, have you ran into anybody recently who like, John Prosser, you mean from Geek Basics?
No. I remember, and it's crazy because like I remember getting like 10,000 views or page views on the website or something. And I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy.
That was serious back then because that was what, like 2010? 2011?
I started that website in 2009.
Gotcha.
So
that was substantial, actually. That was nothing to laugh at. Even though I did laugh at you a lot for it.
Well,
in school,
yeah, I had a Geek Basics shirt, and the colors of the website were orange and blue, so I had Converse on, and I had one orange one and one blue one, and people fucking lit me up in school.
I made fun of you so hard.
I know.
You know, off topic, my niece had a Geek Basics lanyard she used until maybe like 2-3 years ago.
No way.
Yeah. It just disintegrated like on her one of these days.
One of our teachers, our computer teacher, Mr. Witt, had one of those too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, I think, well, to be fair, John, we all fucking had one because you handed them out.
I did.
To everybody.
I handed them the fuck out. Yep, sure did.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, we just sold like almost 1,000 t-shirts, by the way. This is our second day selling Toilet Squad t-shirts. Uh-huh. And there's almost 1,000 of them sold. But I remember first time I wanted Geek Basics shirts done, there was no like print on demand, anything like then or back then. So we had to like screen print them and order them in bulk. And I remember like I didn't know how many to order.
Yeah.
And so I took a little clipboard to school.
I remember that.
And was like, if you want a t-shirt, put your name down. So I knew how many to buy. And it was like 25 t-shirts or something.
Yeah. I think I put my name down like laughing the whole time. Be like, yeah, sure, I'll fucking take one. I remember the first shirts you printed, there was a typo on them too.
Yes, there was.
It said like, what was it? It said
free online tech support 24/7.
Instead of 24/7.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember.
Those were the
vividly.
Only ones that were made. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So the people that bought them, I ended up giving them out for free because they had a typo.
That's great.
So not only did I only sell 25 t-shirts, I lost all the money on 25 t-shirts.
more reason for me to make fun of you at the time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
So what since we're talking early Front Page Tech and like some of these memories are blurry to you, what is your very earliest memory of anything Front Page Tech?
Sitting in at the time where we were filming in your old house. So what would you have? We would have called that the office.
Yeah, the office. Spare bedroom. Yeah.
Probably had dog shit on the floor. Sitting there with that gross blue carpet on. I don't even think it was a chair I was sitting on. I think it was a subwoofer or something.
No, it was a...
Was it a stepladder?
It was a stepladder. It was that brown stepladder.
I was sitting on a stepladder. And I remember being annoyed with how many takes you were doing of a specific story. And me having to...
And now that's your whole life.
Yeah, and me having to interject witty commentary. Witty, in quotations, witty. Commentary. Each time you had fucked up and trying to like do the same intonation each time to keep your flow good. That's probably the earliest memory. And then making sure like the audio was running and then the camera was recording because there, we lost so many shows to one of those failing.
At some point I had like, I started out wearing a lav mic, a lapel mic from Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Before all that shit closed down.
Oh, reliable.
Yeah. It was like a $10 lav mic. But that, eventually went to Brian booming a mic over me for absolutely no reason.
Oh my God, dude, that was the dumbest shit.
Like
why
a giant
boom
fucking
you?
Boom pole with a shotgun mic. I think it was the Rode video mic over my head for no reason. I could have like, why did you do that? Why did we have you do that?
I don't know. I think we were okay. I have the answer. I think we were watching a lot of Film Riot at the
time.
Riot on YouTube. Check them out. They're great. That's actually what we modeled a lot of our shit after because we were in love with the short filmmaking and they
very
were experts
inspired
at that.
By Film Riot.
So we saw like, oh my God, look, the boom pole. Like, we just thought it was the greatest idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was so dumb. We boomed you for so long, and I mean, we lost so much footage over.
We fucking did
over me like. Mic in frame, hitting you with the mic, not pointing at your mouth.
Or just not turning the mic on. We just forget to turn it on. Yeah. Like, Brian, it looked legit, though, because you were booming me. You had headphones on, so you could hear audio through the mic. It was like a whole thing. Yeah. For no reason at all.
No, you weren't, like, on location anywhere.
Nope.
You weren't
just
moving.
Did it.
Yeah, so stupid.
Like, okay, so when I think back to, like, an early memory, I remember, like, both of us sort of being totally surprised by, I mean, what back then it seemed like, and I, you know what, I guess it is significant growth, like, especially back then, but especially when you're starting at zero, when it's brand new and you're starting from nothing, our Creative Basics account had like, that YouTube channel had like 300 something subscribers at the, like it peaked there. And within the first week or two of Front Page Tech, I had like 600 or 700. And I remember picking you up. And like, that was the first thing. Every time I picked you up every weekend, that was the first thing I mentioned. Like, this is how many subscribers I have. And I remember just us both being like, but
holy
how?
Shit. Yeah. I remember, you know, you really shouldn't shortchange yourself because I would say it was really impressive back then. In a weird way, it was easier back then than now just because of the saturation. But at the same time, like going from zero to like 600 or 700 subs that quickly.
Yeah.
Like now you would think like, okay, this dude's going to have a couple thousand here soon. Like you could, knowing what we know now, you could see the growth chart in your head. Kind of like you could see the projection.
It's crazy that like just. It's crazy how much the platform has changed just since then. So we've been doing Front Page Tech for like 6 years or something, but it's crazy that like we just uploaded stuff.
It's
there was
so much
no
worse
method
now.
To the madness. It was just put it up on the internet.
It's so much worse now. I hate it.
It really is. It really is. Okay. So since we mentioned you like coming over on the weekends, we record an episode. I think that the episodes with you on it, I think those went up on Mondays.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So once a week, Brian was actually on the show. He was behind the camera, like it was back and forth banter.
Yeah.
But a lot of the early episodes were both of us. It was not just me. It was I was on camera, but Brian actually was behind the camera wearing a headset. So there was a lot of back and forth on the show, and I feel like most people don't know that.
Now, are you talking about when you moved and then I had like an actual recording headset on?
Yeah. Like,
oh yeah.
Most people now that watch the show now and they just see me have no clue that a good chunk of the show was both of us.
Hundreds of episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We lived together basically at that time.
Right. We did.
I would wear a headset. We'd wake up from the show. I would sit on the couch, monitor the camera, audio levels and stuff, and then include my banter when I could. And that happened. That was a lot. There was a lot of those.
Yeah.
And they're all still up there. We have to find them. Like, that's the crazy part, is all of the FPT episodes are available to watch.
All of them. And they're split up in seasons.
It's quite organized, actually. That was a good idea
I would think,
you had back then.
I think you were on most of the episodes for season one, season two, season three, and maybe season four.
And then somewhere in there, I started working. I had a job. And then the schedule for my job just wasn't good for the show. And then... Oh, wow. So this is really where the separation kind of happened a little bit there.
Yeah, there was a period of Front Page Tech where there was a little bit of a separation. Like, for a while, we were just like, some episodes had you in it, some episodes didn't.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I had started working where I worked at the time, and then I immediately met Bridget.
Yeah.
And so, it
who
basically,
is now your
John...
wife?
Yeah, who's not my... we're now fucking married. Basically, John, a girl split us up. She broke up the
basically.
Band.
Yeah,
for a time being. There was a sundering that happened.
It didn't just split us up. It split Front Page Tech up.
Right.
You hurt the fans.
Maybe we should, hang on. Maybe we should like cliffhang this. Because you're asking the questions. So should we, before we get too far away, are there any other questions related to like a certain era?
Yeah, there's an era related question.
Okay.
That was going to be my next question, actually, is like, what is your favorite period of Front Page Tech? What's your favorite era? Like, what are your fondest memories? Because I feel like each era literally, like, we don't just make new seasons of the show. Each season is like a new era, even for us behind the scenes.
Yeah, really. I mean, we design everything kind of around the season. So, yeah, it makes sense. We tend to change things up when we can. Yeah. I think I had the most fun when we were living together and I had no other responsibilities other than be funny on the show, because that was also that was also when we were doing Game Time. So I was in charge of gameplays and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think generally speaking, that was our best. Like, we had so many ideas then, and we were just like, it was the first time I think we had locked in and had a very clear image of like what we wanted the show to be like.
Right.
And we were comfortable enough and capable enough to start actually making that happen.
Right.
Like, we were getting more comfortable with our humor. More editing was going into the shows.
Yeah. At the time I was editing.
Yeah. Because I didn't fucking know. I mean, I edited Game Times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did Front Page Tech on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Game Time was on
Tuesday and Thursday. Yeah. For a time. I think it was definitely Thursday, but sometimes Tuesday.
And we did a Minecraft-related thing on Sundays, I think. The speed build stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had like a lot of creative outlets at the time, and they
this
were
This was all on the
easy.
Front Page Tech channel. Could you imagine like having gameplay stuff on the channel still?
Well, yeah. Now, knowing what we know about YouTube, yeah, that's murder. That's like, that's actually... Yeah, that's
good
a
thing
suicide.
We figured that out early on.
Yeah. Why are our Game Times only getting 100 views? I don't know.
Well, no, that does not say much. Front Page Tech was getting like 200 or 300 views.
Yeah, we were locked at, what, 312 for the longest time?
301.
301, that was a fuck
301
that.
Plus.
Honestly, though, I think, let's call it the 301 era. I think that was, like, peak fun for me, because it was a perfect mix of no responsibility and creative energy for both of us. Like, we just had nothing to do but make videos and put them online. That was pretty much it at the time.
And it does seem like that was a simpler time. So we were only making like, barely anything, really.
In terms of money, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know. At the time, I didn't actually, I don't think I ever got money from that.
No, I don't think I got money from that.
That's what I mean. Like, but it also like wasn't, you weren't like, hey, you're not going to get paid for this. I just didn't care.
Yeah, it was like, legit was, just like for fun. Well,
yeah, I wasn't.
It wasn't exactly. We were trying to get somewhere with it, but no, like at one point like, we had a contract with Fullscreen.
Uh-huh.
Where they had a subnetwork called Tiny Galaxy, which I'm pretty sure is fucking dead now, but
definitely dead.
100%. We so for a hot second we did Front Page Tech on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on our channel, and for Fullscreen on the Tiny Galaxy channel, they got a Tuesday and Thursday episode, and we got $25 per episode.
And we thought we were hot shit. Like, ooh, yeah, look at that.
We signed that contract. Brian, I remember because you lived close to me before you moved in with me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And we were on our own. I remember I got like an offer from Fullscreen for like, it was like 6 months into Front Page Tech. And I told you, and you came over and it was like the coolest thing. We thought that, we thought that was it. Everything changes now. Or was that a fucking lie?
It's all downhill from here. And then there was a lot of weird shit that happened within that era. Like, okay, let me just to name a few before we talk about them. Cause I find this interesting. Was okay. I want to say it was either Fullscreen or Maker had contacted us.
Both.
Well, yeah, they both had, but I forget which one it was.
Oh, also them, at the time, Awesomeness TV, which I think Disney owns now. I forget who owns that.
I think you're right. Well, anyway, one of them had contacted us, and almost immediately after that, within maybe hours or maybe a day, Brian Brushwood called you.
Yes. Oh, because Discovery.
Yes, it was Discovery. That was it.
Discovery. Who was it? Revision 3 at the time?
Maybe it was Rev 3.
I forget what it was.
There's so many networks, but fucking Brian Brushwood, owner of Scam School, Modern Rogue.
Yeah.
Huge Brian Brushwood called you.
Yep. And I still loved him. Number on my phone.
We were fucking like, massive fans. It's been years. He called you. And then,
I was watching Brian Brushwood since like I was in school because he had Scam School and that was a magic show.
Of course. And John was a magician. Shocker, everybody.
A magician.
And then not too long after that, we were approached. We had tried to work out a collab with Austin Evans at the time.
Yes.
We were like, we talked on Skype a couple times.
Well, and then, we weren't trying to work that out. Fullscreen was trying to send us to fucking Mount Everest.
For Ubisoft, for the launch of Far Cry 3, I want to say.
The idea was they were going to fucking send me and Brian along with Austin Evans to climb Mount Everest with a fucking computer and play Far Cry at the top.
Yeah.
Austin was to build the computer. We were to play the game at the top of fucking Mount Everest. And I have the itineraries. I forget all of that shit. I have the itinerary. I should have looked where we're supposed to go. We would have died. Bottom line.
Probably.
It got canceled for insurance reasons because Fullscreen didn't have, they couldn't like, if we died then.
Yeah. Oopsie.
Yeah. So we had a few Skype calls with Austin.
Right. That was all within, honestly, like the same year time slot.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think. So crazy. I know, right?
A lot of this stuff I totally...
Whom else? We had a thing with, was it Lamar Wilson?
Lamar Wilson, yes.
Lamar Wilson.
We won a few awards with Fullscreen. And one of those awards, one of the rewards for whatever we got
was... It was like an ad campaign or something, right?
Yes, within talent within Fullscreen. So like...
That was it.
David DeFranco, Lamar Wilson, a few others like... Rhett did an ad read like you would like you would hear now for like a different brand, but for us, a YouTube channel, and they were paid. Fullscreen paid them to do it, and Lamar Wilson gave us a shout out in one of his videos, and we got like 500 or 600 subscribers in one day, and we thought that was the craziest thing.
Oh my god!
Like, this, it's happening.
We're blowing up.
We always filmed Front Page Tech at night, because. So, man, and I got pictures of this. We filmed in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And to my right and to my left were windows. So we couldn't record in the daytime.
No.
Why didn't we just buy blackout curtains or something?
Well, at the time we lived with your grandmother, or you lived with your grandma, and I came over, and I don't think she wanted to have big blackout curtains in the kitchen.
You're right. But like, what after she died?
We're idiots. I don't know, dude.
Or we couldn't buy them. We couldn't afford them or something.
No, they're cheap. We're just idiots, John. Give us credit.
We set up the show every time we recorded it, we'd have to put a green screen up, like a pop-out green screen, and we leaned it against the refrigerator. We put it on a chair, leaned it against the refrigerator.
I was the fucking expert at setting up the lights and the green screen and the camera.
At one point, we got tired of setting up every day, and we made my brother do it, and we bought him a Mountain Dew every day that he set it up.
Yeah, because he's a few years younger than you, so he was like, yeah sure, whatever.
So every day he'd set up and we gave him a Mountain Dew from the vending machine.
No, it wasn't even a Mountain Dew. You give him like the $1.50 or whatever it was to buy a Mountain Dew, and he had to walk up to where it was. We live close to where the office was of the building, the complex.
So we had to film at night because the windows we didn't have them blocked off, so the light would come in.
God.
And so we'd have to film at night, but when Lamar Wilson gave us a shout out, we thought we had to hurry up and rush an episode out. And I remember recording in the daytime really quick, like, oh, we got to hurry up and do this. I don't know why we thought that was necessary.
I don't know this at all.
And the episode looked awful because it had our softbox lights with the camera set up with settings for nighttime softbox lights. Oh. But we had those lights and the daylight from the windows.
Can I just say?
It was atrocious.
Even though, like I said, that was like one of my favorite eras where we like had all this creative juice and like energy and all this other stuff. We had no fucking idea about how to make a goddamn show.
No idea.
Like the camera looked bad. The edit looked bad. Everything was bad. Audio was pretty bad. Like the show was really not good. Oh my God, my cat. There's a cat. I gotta go on my lap.
Okay, so we talked about your favorite era, and I would agree. Uh-huh. I would agree that was like a lot of fun, just living together and making shit to make shit.
I agree, yeah. It was good
even
stuff.
Though no one was watching, that was really fun.
Yeah.
When did you start editing?
Well, so let me think here.
Because for a while, like we did Front Page Tech, and I edited for years and years.
The first time I edited, if I had to put it in real life time, I was working at Best Buy, and I was living with Bridget's parents at the time.
Yeah. Bridget, too. Not just her
parents. Just her parents. No, she was off with somebody else, and I was with her parents. I don't remember the context, though. We were deep into Recycle Bin. We might have even been doing Binged at the time as well.
Recycle Bin? No, Recycle Bin was new.
Oh, no, you're right.
This is only like the 13th episode total.
It was the FPT podcast, is what I'm thinking.
We did well over 100 episodes of that show.
Yeah, it was that podcast. I don't remember the time frame, though, if I had to like put a date on it. But the first one I ever did, it was pretty rough. And I remember, it's so funny, I remember having YouTube open in another tab, and then all tabbing between Premiere and YouTube, and just like almost frame by frame trying to like match up the show with you and the show, like you with the show, and like make sure everything was as good as it could be.
Yeah.
And I remember you used to make fun of me for like reverse engineering some of the shit you used to do, like some of the effects on the show.
Right. Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but like I used to just make using my, like I never used to use Photoshop or anything. I used to just have Premiere Tools, and I would like,
right, for like text titles and stuff.
Yeah, I would like brute force so many things that would be so much easier with, you know, proper tools.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was, and that for was the longest time, I didn't even use Photoshop. I used Fireworks.
I still listen to stuff. Fireworks was fucking awesome.
It really fucking was. They ended it at CS6. Uh-huh. It's been discontinued since, but it was like purely for web design, and it was fucking phenomenal.
Well, now that Photoshop has all the grid snapping features, it's not a big deal.
A lot of like the stuff from Fireworks came into
exactly. Photoshop. Only once those things came over from Fireworks to Photoshop is when I finally came around to Photoshop. Otherwise, I was like, I fucking hate this program.
So to be fair, I've used Photoshop for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, but
Not for the same thing.
Yeah, for the show and thumbnails, maybe only 2 years.
Yes. Yes.
So I think in total, you've been editing since like 2017, something. Something.
Is that right?
I think so, because I was going to do that Amazon thing.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest reasons that I was taking over for that.
Yeah, so I was going to go work for Amazon in New York City. Whole fucking thing. That's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But
I got to be honest. It feels like I've been editing for much longer.
That was 2017. I was going to start doing that. And I remember we weren't making enough money yet. And we were in the car. Most of our best conversations happened in a car.
Always.
And we were driving. And we were talking about you starting to edit the show, because here's the thing, I would never, like, I was nervous about not editing the show because we had a very specific style and
flow and everything, really.
Yeah, the only person I'd ever trust to edit the show is Brian, because he's seen the episodes, he's been he's been there since the beginning. We have a very similar style of humor, and so that was the plan, was just for the show to seamlessly, I would stop editing it, but it didn't seem, the show was still the same, basically.
Well, I would say that honestly, like, our humors have grown because of each other.
Yes.
Almost to a fault. And I remember there was a point of contention with you having me edit, because I really had such little Premiere knowledge. And we had another friend at the time who had much more than me. Like,
who?
But
oh,
the issue
Lucas.
Was. Yes, but the issue was he didn't have the style. Like, he didn't have the humor of us. So, like, he had the talent, but it just wasn't a good match.
Yeah. So, I remember in the conversation in the car, there was a point where you wanted to start editing, even though you weren't going to get paid. Like, we didn't have enough money, and you were just like, I just want to start as, like, just so I can start learning how to do it.
I remember that, yeah.
And I think you've been editing every episode since then.
Mostly everyone. Like, there are some times, like, I can't, or, like, a real life thing gets in the way and you have to step in. And
now, were you still working at Best Buy, or had you quit by then? Because I remember we were driving to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to Boardman.
And do you want to give away the location names?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to Boardman, and because we don't live there.
Fair enough.
We were going to Boardman, and in that car on the way to Boardman was where we had the conversation of you potentially quitting Best Buy.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I remember doing the podcast while I worked at the store.
Right.
I remember doing podcasts.
The FPT podcast. There was a point of Front Page Tech, too, that was just a live podcast. It wasn't edited anymore.
Which I maintain is my preferred method. Not because of lack of editing, but just because, like, that's very real. And, like, I don't know. It's easier to get, like, real opinions when it's conversational, in my opinion, like that.
That was season 4, if anyone's interested.
Yeah, which, by the way, I think that's still on iTunes. So
it's still on iTunes, part of GFQ Network. They had it at the time they were syndicating, and it's on the channel. The video version's on the channel still.
Which is also funny, real quick, that era of Front Page Tech, that season 4, the podcasty stuff, is actually the only time period where everybody around me liked the show as well. Like, all of my friends at the time and some of my family who had iPhones would literally listen to the show because of it being on iTunes.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, it just made more sense.
That,
I'm like,
when
wait.
We started doing that, that's when we first started getting, like, consistently 1,000 views a show.
I wonder if maybe we're missing a beat. Maybe we should go back to that.
What do you mean?
Like, maybe that was like a ticket. You know, I'm just saying, like, maybe
that
was
like... I don't
think
so.
Yeah. No. But yeah, that was the only time period where everybody around me seemed to also watch the show. And they would talk to me about the stuff in the show. Mm-hmm. I'd be like...
And we had guests on the show, too. There was a different guest.
Oh, my God.
Frequently.
So many times.
Like, at one point, I had our computer teacher from school. Obviously, we'd been graduated for years.
Yeah.
He was a guest on the show.
Yeah. Even some of my coworkers wanted to be on the show as well. Because all of us worked in the fucking cell phone department at Best Buy. So,
That was the point of my biggest burnout. That there were 2 points in Front Page Tech history where I almost quit. That was one of them. That was why that started happening, because producing an episode of Front Page Tech at the time took too many fucking hours.
Oh.
I was not like, now Brian is a much more efficient editor than I am. At the time, it took me too long. At the time, it took me too long to fucking make an episode. It wasn't worth it. We weren't making any money, weren't getting any views. And that was like a very close to complete burnout for me.
Yeah. And that's why the Amazon thing was such a boon in our mind.
Yeah. That's why I almost quit. That's why we went to do, that's why I started doing the podcast thing, because it was more worth my time. I could just do it.
Yeah.
It was, I recorded it live. It was a podcast for an hour, and that was it. So, I was getting more out of it than I was putting in. Yeah. And then the next burnout happened around the Amazon thing.
Yeah.
That was, so right before we actually, and I'm talking about our first growth spurt. A lot of you would know that as the Apple sucks now and it's your fault video. That was our first real experience of real organic growth.
Yeah.
That video saved the show, I would say.
It revitalized your care. That's for certain.
Yeah, but we really weren't fucking good. Like, that was a really challenging time in our lives, but also in Front Page Tech. There was a lot of like fallout with Amazon. It was just all bad.
It definitely was.
So the plan was, Brian starts editing. I mean, we made a lot of like, even just like behind the scenes life decisions based off of the Amazon thing working out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Amazon was, Front Page Tech was not making enough money, but it was okay for Brian to come on and us both split money, because the Amazon deal was going to be enough to support the Front Page Tech stuff too. But then there was a fallout with Amazon. I ended up not working with them, which is a different story that we won't go into, especially for this episode.
Yeah.
Which essentially left Brian and I stranded.
A little bit.
And it was mostly my fault. It was all my fault, really. So that brings me to my next question. I don't know if this is the answer, that if it's the same answer for you, or if you have a different one in mind. What was the most challenging period of Front Page Tech, or the most challenging time that you can remember since the beginning of Front Page Tech to now?
Huh.
And this, you're allowed to get deep. Like, whatever was the most challenging thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would say that time period, honestly, with the Amazon stuff, we both of our heads were full of a lot of false hope, and like, you know, that was, hope was really like the only thing keeping us fucking going.
Yeah.
Like, it was really bad.
I think this is a good reminder for everyone, every creator right now.
Yeah, it is.
That everyone starts at zero. There's a, like, everyone goes through this period, like, and the history of Front Page Tech goes way further than the episode that you just watched yesterday.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of fucking struggling. It was awful for a second.
Not to go into like real detail, but like, I think maybe both of us, we were on the verge of homelessness. A lot of bad shit happened, sort of cascading.
Yeah.
Like, as a cascading effect. And it was like that for a time. But then right around the second growth spurt is really like that brought us out of it.
Yeah. The first like that first growth spurt really, like, it gave us just enough.
It gave us motivation.
It also gave us money. That was like our first period of making over $1,000 a month, maybe.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think. Yeah.
And that, so that Apple sucks now and it's your fault video, that was totally like, had no idea that was going to blow up. Like,
nope.
That was over. Like, I'm not joking. And creators, don't expect this to ever happen.
Right.
That was an overnight shift of getting 1,000 views a video, 2,000 views a video, to 10,000 views a video. Overnight. Right. Just happened.
Yeah. And we lost our minds.
It was crazy.
I would say that video, honestly, was like, okay, this random off topic, but it's kind of pointed. You know the game series Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
It's called that because the original one back on the original Nintendo in the 80s was meant to be that game studio's last game. And they're like, well, we're going to go out on a bang, I guess. And they put all their effort, all their concentration into one game. And it was Final Fantasy. And that like spiraled out of control with success and just blew the fuck up. And now they're on like the 16th game or whatever they're on.
Yeah.
I would say that was our like, that was the real savior of the channel.
Yeah. And that like, was that like was, literally like maybe a month or two away from like actually for real quitting.
That was like spiraling the drain. Yeah. And that pulled us right out. We were still left with real life issues that had transpired because of the previous events, but that was
we
like
still
said,
deal
the,
with some of those.
Yeah, we're still dealing with them. But
so like that, you would say like that was the most challenging.
Yeah, and then there's been little things in between, but like that was by far like that was a big one. That was the big one. So like okay, that was the big enough one that everything that's happened since has paled in comparison.
Right.
It's always been like, oh, well, we're going through
this. At least
this.
It's not that.
At least it's not that. So that's how big that was.
Yeah.
In perspective.
It was really, really rough. And I think the only thing that they say, don't do business with your friends or whatever. But I think us being best buds was the only thing that got us through that nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly,
anyone else would have walked away.
Well, that's one of the biggest things that kind of keeps us going, I would say.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not going to lie, I haven't lost... There hasn't been moments where I've lost faith over the years. But there's been moments of, like, unsureness. And, I mean, we're running a business, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be those moments of, like, am I doing the right thing? Are we on the right path?
Yeah.
And if we weren't the friends we are, I think there'd be... There'd be no like, oh, fuck this. It would just be, oh, fuck this. I'm going to quit. This isn't a good job for me. Right. Well, it's not a job for us.
Yeah. Like we're both invested. We made this.
Right. And it's not even that we're just invested in the show, but we're invested in each other as well.
Right.
Like you're not just some dude who owns the other half of the company I own.
Yeah.
You're not right. just the talent. I'm not just an editor.
And honestly, like this isn't my interview, but if I could pinpoint the best thing that's ever happened to Front Page Tech from beginning to now, I would say it is you editing the show. That was the single best decision.
Agree.
That was the single best decision that we've ever made.
Yeah.
Because like it started out with me just hoping that you would be able to replicate my style of editing.
Uh-huh.
And it's turned into now, with every single episode of Front Page Tech, the viewer gets two perspectives almost. They get comedy from two different angles. They get me, what I recorded, but then they also get like your personality comes through in the editing. And that's how I think that's why people know you so well, because I think that's why you're such a personality, because and why you're such a personality in the community and you rarely speak.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with you. And I find that interesting because there are a lot of times where I'll ask you like, hey, update on how the show's doing, and you'll just reply like, fuck. And I'll be like, oh, what's wrong? And then you'll be like, I just hate this episode. I'm not funny.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, we'll see. And then it ends up totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard for
Burn has a way of making every episode seem fine.
Well, and yeah, and whenever you're doing it yourself, you get tunnel vision. And like, let's say you were editing that episode you hate, you would just hate it more. You'd see your own issues. You'd see like the parts where you cringe in your head, like, ooh, that was bad, but I got to keep it.
Right.
You know, so like it being a two-part system, you're sort of saved from your own negativity in a lot of ways. Right.
Okay, so that was the shittiest, the shittiest era of Front Page Tech, which we both agree. I think we agree on the best era and the most challenging, shittiest time.
Probably.
Okay, Burn.
Uh-huh.
So there are a lot of creators in our audience and probably a lot of creators listening to this right now.
Okay.
So what is, I don't even know, I guess just as a creator, what is this like from your perspective? Somebody who's behind the scenes. What is creating stuff for the internet like from your perspective?
Ooh, good question. my perspective is very different than yours, John, and
right.
very different from you, yours, the viewer, if you are the sole person running the content that you're putting out, or if you're the on-screen person.
Yeah, so like you're the creator who's, you know, you're recording the videos, editing the videos, putting out the videos, yes. like it's all you.
And John was that for a very long period, I would say. So in a weird way, there's a separation between me and the content that goes out. I'm not like, okay, this sounds weird, but bear with me. There can be an episode where I don't agree with you, John.
On one of my opinions?
Yeah. You could be okay. like, oh, this is a really bad, I don't agree with this opinion, or like he's too abrasive here, but like all I have to do is make you the best you that you can be on the show.
Interesting. Like whether you agree or not.
Exactly. I don't have to, I can be like, he's being a fucking idiot, but that's not me out there.
Yeah.
Like if somebody goes, wow, John, you suck. I can still be like, yeah, but that's a really clean cut right there though.
Yeah.
So like there's a weird separation there because I'm proud of different things you're proud of, but I'm also proud of the same things in a different light.
Yeah.
In a sense. So that's all. I'm also like removed from, I'm removed from a lot of criticism, and I feel removed from like the spotlight, but it's a good and a bad thing, you know?
Okay. So, like, and that's actually one of the questions that the viewers asked uh-huh. too, which we'll get to those questions. We're literally like a question away from going into the Twitter section, but,
uh-huh.
I'd say you're disconnected from the YouTube stuff too. Like, I feel like, and I guess that's why I asked the question, because I feel like in a lot of ways you get to be more creative. Like
yeah.
every creative aspect of what I do, I feel like there's always a narrative I'm trying to push, or an intention, like whether it's exactly. the YouTube algorithm or the viewer's emotion.
Yep.
Or something like that. Like everything I do is very intentional, and like I'm doing it it's awful to say, but to manipulate somebody for something, like either the emotion. Algorithm
yeah.
or the viewer.
Uh-huh.
But you get to just create stuff, and I think that's really cool.
It is. It also, it can feel directionless though, because while you do things with intent,
uh-huh.
my drive is, it changes almost on the episode. Like,
yeah.
You've told me this before. You can tell whenever I'm having fun with an episode.
Oh yeah, it's very obvious.
And that comes through for me way more than it does for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have an agenda to push, like you said, and you have intention. My intent is just to put the episode, like my only goal is to put the episode out, hit upload.
Yeah.
So the episode uploaded could have 5 jokes in it. It could have 1 joke. It could have no jokes. The end result could be the same in view count. Yeah. And honestly, like a lot of the stuff I put into the show, like, okay, for a fucking while, just for my own happiness, I was putting Nicolas Cage heads in episodes in the background yeah. with super low opacity. John, yeah. you don't even know the episodes I have them in there. I didn't tell
no.
you. Sometimes
no,
I did. Maybe
I have no
you saw
idea.
Some. Honestly, there's more than 15.
I love there's so many like tiny little burn things that like, it's just part of your style now. Like we were just talking about it the other night, like the fact that you use stock images in the show yeah. uh-huh. with the watermarks on them. Obviously, we didn't pay for them, obviously, because the watermark's on there. But that's like part of the joke that you just took generic fucking stock images. And
exactly.
that's one of the funniest jokes to me for some reason. It's just a thing that you do.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's like I said, it's freeing, but also it can feel like I'm just kind of thrown into the void. And if I'm not yeah. enjoying it on my end, I'm not getting a lot of joy out of it. Like nothing comes back to me really.
Right.
Like, I mean, I even said like, on the podcast we put out the trash pile episode, like the last one we put out for patrons.
Yeah.
I don't really, it's hard for me to remember to look at Patreon comments. So all the episodes we put out for Patreon or like that episode, it does feel like I'm just tossing it out there.
Yeah.
And even with the upload schedule we have
so
now.
So if you're listening to this episode right now, people, because you can't really comment on a podcast app, send Brian a tweet.
Yeah, at bshoop with four O's. Tell me what you thought. Or just generally talk
link in
to
the
me,
show huh? notes, too.
I like speaking to the fans. I would say me more than you will talk to the fans on Twitter.
Yeah, I'll reply and stuff, but usually to be a dick. You're more of a conversational.
I try to be, yeah. But going back to what I was saying, it does feel like sometimes I'm just throwing things out there, and it can feel like I am just a regular dude, but it makes me feel like I'm just a regular guy who does work at the computer and goes floop, and there's floop. Something online now. You know, it's easy to feel disconnected. You have to
There's a lot of ways too where, like in an episode, you can shift a narrative that I have, like
I've done it
or
before.
Make me come across not as harsh or.
Yeah, I usually like I've left things out. I've
I think that happens
in.
For two reasons, because number one, it's your it's your reputation, too. The show is attached to you, too. But also because we're friends and you just want to make sure I don't look awful.
Yeah, I would say both. There's a third one in there, and it's if I don't find it funny.
Oh my God, that happens so many fucking times where I watch the show back.
Happens a lot.
And I don't watch the show before we put it out. We just have the trust where he uploads the thing. I put the title on it.
Which is your
mistake,
really.
Yeah. So I watch it with the fans. When you guys watch it, I watch it. Uh-huh. And first of all, I really fucking love that. I love that I just watch it with them. And it's like a new thing for me, too.
It is. Yeah, you're right. You're a fan of the show for certain.
And I'll just fucking watch and be like, Brian,
where's my joke?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't funny.
I
thought he forgot it or just skipped over it. No, he could just cut it out because fuck me.
But I'd be like, John, this is the 15th Office reference you've made in the last week. We can drop one. But
there's a lot of trust nowadays. Like early on when you were starting to edit, like I feel like we were both very hands-on with the whole process, but now it's just I film it, give it to Brian. Like during the episode while I'm recording, I'll give some sort of instruction like, I don't know, put something here. But it's literally just that. And you hate it so much. I'll literally just say, put a meme here, do something here. But listen, Brian, you can be angry and you can tell people why you're angry, but I do that because I trust you, because I don't need to be like, I need this exactly, do this exactly, because I want to put spots in the show where it's completely up to you.
But okay, listen, I appreciate that concern.
You fucking hate me.
But basically what you're doing is like, you think it's this like, oh, here's a spot, be creative. But what you're doing is like, I'm locked in a room. Like I'm locked in this room and you're like, okay, this is your time frame to be creative, have fun. And I'm like, I just want to get out of this room. Like, this isn't me saying I hate editing. I don't hate editing at all. But like, I have a mission. And it's like, okay, it's get the show done in a timely manner for me where I feel as though I haven't been wasting time or been struggling to get a thing done.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, it's like, okay, here's a joke. Like I'll lighten up on myself and be like, okay, let's be funny.
Yeah.
For you to go, I don't know, put a fire meme here. I'm like, what does that mean, John? Like you're just I'm like, fuck you. You should.
What
you should
can
really,
you do?
If you heard me every time that you did that, I seriously like for nobody but me. I'll just go. I fucking hate you.
I apologize now. When I'm recording, I'm like, I literally go in there preemptively and like, Brian, listen, I'm sorry, but can we have this?
You know what? That makes it worse though, because you're still doing it.
I know what I'm doing.
Ugh.
There was a point where you like, I have heard you actually truthfully angry
at
me. Only a few times in our whole friendship, like literally maybe four times, maybe less. But one of those times was there was a period in the show where there was one time during an episode where I said, Brian, can you make an animation? I'll do a voiceover. And you literally animate
honestly,
this thing.
Yeah.
Brian has never fucking animated shit.
No.
And he did it for an episode and it came out so fucking good. And I got so obsessed with that where like, every other episode, I was like, Brian, do it. Do the thing. Animate the thing.
Dance,
every
monkey,
time,
dance.
Every time he was like, John, I don't, it takes too much time. It's too hard. I just don't want to do it. Like, especially what? This often. And I was like,
real quick.
Okay.
Real quick. It wasn't even that. It was, you can't just make me. It's not like, okay, tell a joke. You can't just. That's what you were doing, Brian. Tell the joke, make funny. That's what got me. I was like,
it was
John,
time consuming,
to me.
and it took a lot of resources because you were doing it all
creatively.
Fucking.
It was creatively draining.
Like, keep in mind, we don't got a couple days to make these episodes. I was like, Brian,
hours.
Just do the thing.
And that was at the time where you were giving me the show at like, I don't know, 9 or 10 p.m. And you're like, uh-huh. You're like, just upload it like around 11 if you could. So I got like an hour-ish to do it.
Okay, well, he kept fucking warning me. He's like, I can't keep doing this. Stop telling me to do this. And I was like, oh, okay, Brian. And then another episode would go by and I'd be like, can you do the thing? Can you animate the thing? And eventually one day he fucking exploded on me. He's like, you're not listening to me. I keep telling you, I don't want to do this. I can't do this every week. We have to stop doing this. And you don't listen. You don't take me seriously. And I was like, oh, okay, Brian. He fucking blocked me on Facebook. So I couldn't message him. And I had to call him or text him because, and then he was like, are you going to take me seriously? And I was like, oh, he means it.
Yeah, dude, it was real. I was like ranting to Bridget.
The boy blocked me on Facebook.
I was like
he
ranting
cut contact.
To, yeah, I dude, I was, I was like, I'm so fucking mad. Oh shit, that was, looking back, it's hilarious, but at the time, yeah, it was pretty rough. Well, not rough, but like, you know.
Yeah, one of the very few times where we don't like fight or get angry at each other, but that was like one of those. Well, that was a real life.
Yeah.
I fucking hate you right now. Stop making me do this. Why aren't you listening to me?
And it was even like, oh my God.
That analogy that I make about McDonald's, where I'm like, stop putting fucking ketchup on my burger. That was me. I was McDonald's.
And it was so much like, I was even bargaining. I was like, John, let me get like a Wacom tablet. Like, I'm drawing with a mouse, man. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, it was
a lot of these
like,
were done in like Photoshop or something. You'd have different layers and you would just manually move them up and down and record your screen or something.
Yes. Yes.
And it was just, nuts.
Oh boy. Looking
but
back.
But I loved them so much and was just like, Brian, do the thing.
I know. And I'll still do them, but I got to feel it. It's got to be
careful what you say.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm never doing them again.
This is the last of my questions.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I'm going to throw in, this is a bonus one. Okay. What are your favorite type of episodes? Because through the years, there's, like, especially right now, there's I'd say three different types of episodes that we do. There's ones that have a very serious narrative somewhere in the show, where I'm trying to be more credible and I'm trying to get a point across.
It's press episodes that you hope end up on a website.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Then there's the FPT special reports, where it's literally a whole episode dedicated to one thing.
Yeah.
And then there's the really fun, almost meaningless episodes that are just like, we're definitely more focused on funny and pissing people off. That's my character.
If I had to pick a favorite, and it's none of the ones you picked, actually, the categories.
Really? Interesting.
It's the ones that are unassuming. It's the ones that you film, and it's like a normal show, usually around the 6.5-7 minute mark, real tiny basic edits, but that you indirectly leave me with like a blank canvas. And it's those moments where it's like, I'm gonna fuck your shit up, John, and put like a ridiculous joke in. It's the sleepers. It's the one, it's like, oh, here's an episode based on how much Apple made in their quarterly report.
Yeah.
And then it ends with like, there's a bunch of memes and weird shit in it. Those are my favorite. It's the ones that are easy to edit.
Yeah.
But that I spend way more time on because I see potential, you know? So unfortunately, it's ones that are like almost completely unmotivated by what you do.
Right.
By like how you're feeling. It's just like, it's almost like a shooting star. It's like a random event. Yeah. It's totally unexpected and really you can't even like predict them.
I think my favorite, the ones I get most excited about are when I get a message from you that's like, I'm putting 110% into this, or
yeah,
and that's you saying that to me. Like, there's some sort of joke that you just like went all in on,
or I'll just be like, "Oh, John, you don't even know," and you'll be concerned,
and I don't know until the episode's out.
And if you look back, I think you'll find that those are in the weird, random, unassuming ones that you don't expect them to be in.
Yeah. Okay, so almost the end of my questions. What do you think about like our style of creating? Like, do you like everything being so fast paced. Now, this is a question coming a night after we did an episode with Mr. Who's the Boss, who was in a different time zone.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of waiting and stuff, and we had to move very quick.
Yes.
Do you like that style of how like everything moves really quick for us and we got to get an episode out in hours, or would you rather have days to work on something?
I think it's going to be another weird mix. I think I like the fast-paced get them out in an hour because I can't really trust myself to have a lot of time to do something.
Okay.
If you tell me, okay, just upload this when you're done, like get it out. It'd be cool to have it out, let's say by 11, but if you can't get it out when you're finished,
right?
I'll be like, okay. And I'll like work efficiently. I won't watch YouTube videos when I'm bored with a take or frustrated or something. But when I have, okay, our schedule now, for those who don't know, you tend to record nighttime. You tend to record between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Right now, for instance, it's 1:40 a.m.
Right.
And then the show itself goes out anywhere between like 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. or 10 a.m., I would say. It's been hard, and this is a fairly new thing, so it's been a little difficult adjusting because I can't trust myself to not fuck around. I like to...
There's definitely a lot more leeway in the show now, I think, because...
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Like I said, it's a lot of personal responsibility that I'm not used to, I guess.
And this is recent. We changed our schedule recently because for a while there, I would try to record around 6 or 7, sometimes 8, and then we'd put the episode out by midnight or something. But now we record the show at night to get it out in the morning because for some reason with our audience, morning videos do a lot better. So we aim to put the show out scheduled at 8:15 every morning. So I record the show at night. So Brian he can either edit throughout the night. He can edit as soon as he gets the show. He can edit in the morning. He can wake up in the middle of the night, which has been happening. And that schedule is kind of new. So you're saying that it's a blessing and a curse for you.
Yeah. Well, it's so rarely do we match up when it's like, okay, I'm in work mode. Okay, cool. You're also in work mode. And I think the new schedule tends to... Maybe I just got really used to working around like 10 p.m. and be like, okay, you got the show to me. I'm putting that bitch out, and I'm like aiming for like 11:30. And if I can get it, I'm like, yes, mission accomplished. And I feel good. And I think we were on a good schedule then, but it just wasn't as good for views. And then if we missed that window, the show would end up going out at like 1 or 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it went out in the morning, it would usually be like behind and we'd miss the news flow, sort of the news cycle. So it's just, it's a blessing and a curse. It's, like I said, it's more personal responsibility, and then it's late night work. So like I tend to want to be a fucking loser at 2 a.m. and play video games and, you know, be a waste of space. Yeah. So it's hard. It's been hard adapting to that, I guess. I still haven't really found an answer to that equation.
And it's a lot of it works on my schedule too. Most of it actually, because since I'm on camera, like I gotta be honest, especially if you're doing a daily show, you don't want to be on fucking camera every day. And there's a specific window in my day where I'm like, okay, I can do it. I feel like being on camera.
And it fluctuates.
Yeah.
That's I think realistically, it's not even your fault. That's just like the crux of the issue.
Yeah.
That's the biggest point of contention we have is when you're in work mode and when I'm in work mode. It's just
for some nights for me, I'll be ready to go on camera like earlier, but sometimes it takes me fucking hours and I put it off and I'm ready to do the show. Like everything's set up, the lights in the studio on or something. And I'm just fucking, just can't.
You. Yeah. It's your feelings. You can't muster the cares as we tend to say.
Cause it's obviously it's a character on the show for the most part. It's like, it's me, but turned up.
Yeah. Even this is like 115% John.
Yeah. Yes.
You're not going to get, I would say this is pretty accurate to how I am day to day, but you're turned up, and that's just how you do it on, you know, when you're on for like content.
And I don't notice that anymore. It all blends together, but obviously when I flip the switch, it's funny. Like before we hit the record button or something, and we're just like, eh, and then I hit record, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, just not to sidetrack too much, but that's actually when I was streaming, and I by the way, I'm not completely done streaming. I just,
that was one of the questions.
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe I should wait then. But basically, that's one of the things I found out when I was streaming was that, like, oh, I guess this is kind of just my on-camera personality. If I had one, it was just like me. It really wasn't any extra put on, usually. I found that really weird, because most people have a switch they flip and become like
me.
Yeah, like you. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this is my last question, and we'll move on to, we'll do like a lightning round of viewer stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so tech, I'd say for us, is maybe not technology itself is boring to us, but the genre online, the creative space around tech and tech content, I feel is boring to us.
Yeah.
And we're very jaded by technology in general, I think. And I think it's a symptom of, we've done this for 6 years. We reported on the same companies for 6 years. And a lot of times, even though the products come out with different names, we've seen it all fucking happen before. That's a big reason why.
It's a cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big reason why I'm really good at predicting stuff. It's not because I can tell the future, but it's because we've literally fucking done this over and over again. The thing that seems new, reported on it before. It happened before. Same company.
Just with less cameras. Happened. Yeah.
So what is your view on technology in the tech space? Like, because we've had this conversation that.
Yeah, we have.
Like, we make tech content, but our interest in it is different nowadays than it used to be in tech in general.
Yeah. I find that tech these days is becoming, I mean, if I had to group it all into one word being tech, it's all been slowly reaching the vanishing point where it's sort of all becoming as similar as it can be together. Everything's sort of blending, and even like separate items and categories, smartphones, laptops, computers, whatever, it's all sort of like coalescing into one thing, you know? And I think that's the natural progression, but it's making it way more, or rather way less interesting and more tedious to talk about.
Yeah.
Because how often can we talk about...
Especially if we've sort of done it before with a different product or something.
Yeah, okay, like for instance, Apple just released that whole, like, is it called Sidecar with the using the iPad as a monitor?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking swore I saw that before. Like, I literally saw them announce that. And I was like, isn't that a thing already? Like, I was like, I'm pretty sure they have this already. Yeah. I think it's actually a third party program, but like,
probably
in my mind, I'm like, that already exists. What are you announcing? So like, it's all sort of blending and becoming this.
It would help if Apple didn't fucking try to name something super magical and mystical. Yeah. Not an extended display. It's just Sidecar.
Yeah. Yeah. But my interest, though, it's becoming more simplified. I would say, like, I've stayed in the same vein, gaming and things to make gaming smoother and more comfortable and, you know, things like that. But like,
yeah.
I've moved into more like realism. Like I said, on the trash pile episode of the recycle bin we just did, like I'm more interested in like real life applications, like Tesla.
I think that's true for both of us.
Prosthetics and
ow, just kick the fuck out of my desk.
We'll leave that in. Little Easter egg.
Kick the fuck out of it. Sorry if you heard that.
I actually didn't come through for me. But no, it's become more real life application and less fucky. Like, I'm just tired of fucking with stuff.
Yeah, I think you know what? I think that's a benefit, or like, I think that's a really cool aspect of FrontPage Tech, is that we really don't give a fuck most of the time. Like, we're jaded and none of it matters tomorrow. So like,
yeah, this is true.
And I think that's a perspective that comes out on the show, that like, because I feel like especially in the online tech community, the YouTube comments, the subscribers, they're really wrapped up in this shit and they all take it too seriously. And I like Front Page Tech to be a nice reminder that it doesn't matter. And half the time I say shit just to piss those people off. And we know exactly what we're doing.
I would say it's akin to like, okay, the people who are watching the show every day, most of the time it's like new people watching it or like newer viewers. They don't realize we're 6 years in. So it's like we're the professional that's raced around this fucking track a million times. We know everything, know all the potholes, know like where the interesting things are or whatever. And then the viewers are like there for the first time, like, oh my God, look at all the stuff. And we're like, yeah, yeah, look, that's cool. Yeah, moving on, you know.
Yeah,
it's always the same, like, it's the same song and dance for us every day. So it tends to come through, I think. And that manifests as like confidence with us a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like you said, that's how you're able to read the market and predict and, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of the subscribers, uh-huh. Reached out on Twitter, right? I sent out a tweet a few days ago and I let everyone know that, hey, I'm going to be interviewing Brian. If you have any questions that you want to ask him about like his position behind the scenes and stuff from his perspective, ask him and I'm going to give you those questions. Okay. Cool.
Okay, great segue.
Okay, so we'll do like a sort of a lightning round. You don't have to go insanely fast, but we'll just try to cut through them.
Keep them short, yeah, for sure.
Okay, from Shawan, Dan Kammer, one of our favorite people in the community, obviously.
Yes,
if we have to pick favorites. He's been around for years and years. Mm-hmm. And years. Him and another name that comes to mind is Persoon. Persoon's been around. Yeah.
Very valued members.
I feel like people don't realize that if you're active in the community, we know your name or recognize your avatar or something.
But to be fair, if we can't name those two and not name Molico.
Molico,
There will be a fight starting, so I have to make sure we love you all.
So Shawan asks to Burn.
Yes.
As an editor, can the iPad Pro replace your computer?
If it was 30 inches... at least big. If it ran Premiere Pro quickly.
Thank you for saying that. Holy shit. Thank you for saying that.
Yes. If it had programmable, like all the features Premiere Pro has, like a full layout, 88 key or whatever keyboard. How many keys are on a keyboard? I don't know. Full keyboard and shortcuttable keys with proper mouse support. Sure.
I think these
are necessary.
That was the biggest thing when I read that question. I was like, I feel like this is less about hardware. Of course, you could fucking edit with an iPad Pro or something, but in this, I think this is just my viewpoint on most things. It's not about the hardware. It's about the software. And I think you could most definitely edit on an iPad Pro if you could open Premiere Pro on it.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm okay. Much more so than you, I would say. I'm all about optimization.
Yeah.
Like, I have hotkeys out the ass for everything from cutting to moving selected items on a timeline by a single frame to linking and unlinking to changing color, every fucking thing, adjusting volume, it's all hotkeyed.
Okay, to importing. Put it in perspective real quick on how fucking efficient you are at editing.
Uh-huh.
I remember the first episode of Front Page Tech that I ever edited, when we switched to Premiere Pro and we started using a green screen, it took me 15 hours. It was a fucking tragic day. It was awful.
Yes, it was bad.
I'd say... at my peak, when I started to get really good at it, I use that lightly, I was editing Front Page Tech in maybe 3-4 hours, five sometimes.
Yeah.
Brian, I've seen that motherfucker get the show done in like an hour, hour and a half sometimes.
Yeah, that's about right.
Time, but.
Yeah, when the stars align and things go smooth, hours
fucking
usually
nuts.
The minimum. Yeah, like I'm not about to. Okay, it's like you can. Yeah, sure, you can put a nail through a board with a can of soup, but like, give me a fucking hammer. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So you could do it on a. I'm sure if I was stupid enough to edit the show on an iPad Pro, I could probably get through it. Yeah. I don't fucking want to do that though.
Yeah, you could, but I think it's more a software problem than a hardware problem.
I would fucking end my life if I had to do that day in and day out.
Fucking LumaFusion or something.
It's great. Not for me.
Oh, it's there's especially with chroma keying and the green screen and the layers and all the fucking motion graphics.
No, it's amazing that you can do that on an iPad, but it's just not
for most creators. I think LumaFusion would be fine, but not absolutely. For
Nope.
From Theo on Twitter, he asks, how much does Burn hold back on jokes and comments to edit the show? Like when you... Oh, I guess when I, John, filmed like after the fact, I recorded something on my phone and it was in vertical. He said Burn mocked Jern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've made fun of you before for that. But
so
I do the
how
same.
Much do you hold back on jokes?
Honestly, less than you'd think. Like we said earlier, we have a really similar sense of humor.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of freedom. I think, I hope there's not a misconception that like everything's really strict, and I just tell
it really isn't.
Brian
I gotta be
to
honest.
Do and
if okay, like there was a lot of times where you're making jokes where I probably wouldn't be.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You'll be sillier than I am. My humor is more subtle. You tend to be a little more on the nose with stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good mix, but I really don't hold back, honestly.
Speaking of Malico, here's one from him. From a boy, Malo, on Twitter. He says, what is it like? You'll get a kick out of this one. What is it like from planning on being a history teacher, which we talked
yeah.
you know, call it Brian's college days. What's it like from planning to become a history teacher to making history in the YouTube tech community?
Oh, my God. Christ. When you put it that way, it's tragic.
It really is.
But it's something. I'm a really realistic person, so I know that YouTube is not going to last.
Right.
I can't put a time limit on it, but I know that it's anybody who's planning to be a YouTube sensation for a career, you gotta wake up.
Yeah.
That's a bad plan.
I think, like, when I think about that in our time, however much time we have doing this, I think I put that responsibility on me almost, not on YouTube. Like, obviously, YouTube, the platform, probably won't be around forever, but
yeah.
I base that more on, like, how long will people care about me or how long will people care about Front Page Tech? Because,
oh, yeah. Creators have a time limit. They have
there'll be a time where I, as a personality, am too disconnected from what people want.
Well, an easy example. I mean, okay, let's just say Ray William Johnson never stopped doing Equals 3. Let's say he never made any weird plays with other types of content, or tried to branch out too far, or whatever the case may be under his because of his downfall, whatever caused that. If he just stayed doing the same content, how long would the fans stay?
Yeah.
Like, he would have been abandoned by now. But that's okay. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
It happens to celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, it's
everybody.
There's
like, I'd say a lot of our favorite creators from the years
either
outgrew what they were doing and didn't want to do it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Or the audience outgrew them. Like, they just moved on.
Yeah, well, I see that, and that's why I think we're really unique position. Sorry, I know it's a lightning round, but this is an interesting question. We started, I would say, we started in a sort of like sophisticated topic, and with the hopes of making it like and sort of like dumbing it down for ourselves.
Yeah.
So like, we've grown with the content.
Yeah, we've adapted a lot throughout the years.
Like, there was a lot of fake it till you make it in the early FPT. Like, we had no business talking about tech news.
Yeah.
I mean, we still kind of don't, but, like, we've grown into it. So, like, and there'll be a time where we're going to grow out of it, I would say. Mm-hmm. But we're still, like, in our golden years, I would say.
So, I want to slide my own question in here after you said that. So, I personally see Front Page Tech more as an entertainment show in the tech space rather than a tech news show.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think, for the most part, unless we have an exclusive or it is like a super heavy analysis episode, I don't think you should watch us for the tech news. What kind of content do you think we make?
So I'm answering as me, right? Not like outside viewer.
Yeah.
Knowing our interests and how you prefer to do stuff, it's absolutely like entertainment comedy show.
Yeah, entertainment
and not
first.
Tech news. However, if I'm looking on the outside looking in, yeah, of course, it's a fucking daily tech news show with bad jokes.
It's disguised as a tech news show,
which is on purpose. It's part of the magic, really, is like, oh, look, Apple show, but then you can't get away from John. He's too lovable.
I really fucking love that about, like, front page tech or mm-hmm. my personality on the show, the character on the show, that there's no in between. You either, there's people that really like me or really fucking hate me.
Yeah.
I like not being in the gray area.
You know, looking back at the question though, I don't think I did all that good of a job of answering it. I think we kind of went on a little tangent. It? No. I would say, going back to like what it feels like aiming to be this certain job and then ending up here, it still feels weird. And as I started off to say, it being realistic, it feels as though, unlike other certain career paths, there is going to be a concrete endpoint, wherever that may be.
Agreed.
So I feel like, I'm not sure if other creators feel this way. I would hope so.
If they don't, they're fucking lying to themselves.
I would hope that people can acknowledge that YouTube won't be around forever and you need to try your best to plan to exit the platform in a better position than you started on it.
Yes.
And if you accomplish that, I think that you have accomplished. Like, there's too many creators that overstay their welcome.
Yes.
We can name a handful.
Yeah, and it really fucks up the reputation. Like,
it ruins the older content, and it's like, it's hard to watch. And
it's like fucking Game of Thrones. It was so good.
Yeah, and then they just...
But now that they ruined it in the last season, it ruins the whole thing. Well, it doesn't ruin it, but it taints the whole thing.
And it goes even further, like, not just on entertainment value, like, oh, you're not really funny anymore, maybe stop the show. It's like, you know, once the fire leaves and you start to maybe feel like you're moving out of this, you should like have the tools in place to transition into a more like, I mean, hopefully we just become billionaires and don't have to work anymore. But like, if we had to quit the show right now, we'd have to enter like the workforce or something like more, not even like service jobs like McDonald's or like restaurants, but we'd have to.
And I've thought about how fucking weird that would be, like, after, like, because there's a good chance that we'll still be recognized for, like, the first year or two outside at a regular job, and we'll constantly be reminded of what happened, however shit hit the fan.
Yeah, and even if, like, it wasn't a regular job, like that, we ended in, like, a service job, a restaurant, whatever, we'd have to approach a media company, something with more concrete...
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it need to be, it's just...
It would feel
just,
like that guy from, what was it, the Cosby Show recently that was working, like, at a grocery store?
Oh, I had heard about
and
that,
and people
yeah.
were like, oh, he's got a job. What is he doing? Like, what do you mean? He's just a normal person. Obviously, the Cosby Show is a lot more popular than Front Page Tech, but it'd just be... I think it would really depend on what field we went into after this.
It would, yeah. And I mean... Who knows? Maybe you would find that you like fucking, probably not, but mechanical engineering or something like that.
I'll be a farmer.
Like, there you go.
We've talked about that. And frustrating YouTube times, we're like, let's fucking just move. Let's go be farmers.
Yeah, let's go be farmers, make corn.
From Aaron on Twitter.
Which Aaron? Is it one, like a noteworthy one or just
Wilhelm?
Someone we don't... Yeah, Aaron Wilhelm, yeah.
Beard.
Yeah. Wait.
Of course.
Did he ask Beard?
No. No. Oh. That's how I always, when I hear Aaron Wilhelm, that's the first thing I think. Oh, beard. Beard and eyebrows. That's how I remember Aaron.
I just remember the face, but okay.
Is Byrne totally self-taught? Did he envision being an editor as a career when he was in school? And then he asked about any formal education, which we already talked about. But he was self-taught.
Yeah, I would say, well, okay. Would I be self-taught if I used you as a template?
Yeah.
Then I'm self-taught.
A lot of the time, you had to you had to reverse engineer it. You had the final product, and you're like, okay, how do I make that?
Yeah, that was exactly it. So I would say self-taught. A shockingly low amount of gained information. Like, you won't find me on like an editing forum asking questions.
Right. Yeah.
I just kind of like figure it out. Like, it's there's really not a lot of, like, I don't have, like, an editing book. You know what I mean? I don't have, like, a tips and tricks for Premiere Pro. It's just kind of whatever happens. Go with the flow, really.
This next one's from Adam Fulton.
Fulton?
Okay. Byrne, is it difficult not being the face of the show? A lot of people know Byrne, but not as many appreciate the hard work that Byrne does.
Aw, well, thank you very much, first of all. No, we kind of touched on that a little bit. I prefer it in a lot of ways, and I know, I'm sure this is going to be another question, I know that if I wanted to, there would be a place for me to have my face more upfront.
Yeah.
So it's really like, I would say it's optimal because I know if I get an itch, there's something I could do to like be out there.
Yeah. And even if you like, okay, with streaming, you wanted that to be your own thing, but you still can leverage what we built.
Exactly.
Okay, Bern, we've come to the end of the road. This is the last question from one of the fans.
Oh, boy.
From Victor Lazo on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
How do you deal with working with Jern? Is he a complete asshole or just midway asshole?
If I had to group you into a category, it would be an unintentional asshole.
I love that I can totally agree.
You don't... There are a lot of things that Jern does that he doesn't see the echoing effects of.
Okay.
Like, some days, if it's like even like a particularly hot day, I know that you're going to be hard. Like, I know I should expect a longer show with more cuts and like more failed takes because you're just sweaty and like unhappy.
I mean, yeah, sometimes the recordings are 15 minutes. Sometimes they're fucking 45 minutes. So,
So when I'll ask him, because our camera splits up the recordings into 4 gigabyte chunks because we only record in 1080p because we're plebeians. I'll be like, how many parts is the show today, John? How many files? And he'll be like, one. I'll be like, yes, it's going to be a quick show. Sometimes it'll be like three. I'll be like, oh, fuck me. Here we go. Yeah. So it's you're unintentional. I don't think. I mean, and you really shouldn't have to concern yourself with all these things that I may care about because I'm way more anal retentive than you in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I'm way more scheduled and like things like that. But yeah, unintentional. Unintentional asshole.
I think I would agree.
Yeah, good. Agree. I'm happy you agree.
Bern, thank you. That's it. That's it. That's all. That's all I had.
Well, that was fun.
Your first official interview. How'd you like it?
I think it went well. I haven't talked about myself like that much in a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like we've done this for 6 fucking years and no one is like you. You've never done interviews or never offered to do interviews or anything like that. And there's just a lot of stuff that is different from your perspective and a lot of stuff that people don't know. So,
you know, I've been approached before. I've just never. One of the reasons that I don't ever foresee myself having my own, let's say, YouTube channel, and one of the reasons I feel less compelled to stream all the time, I don't have, this sounds weird, I don't really have that much self-importance. Like,
there's a lot of that.
Don't get me wrong. I like myself. I have no issue with self-confidence or like, I'm not down on myself at all, but I'm just a person and my thoughts are like literally my own. And I don't feel as though all of them need to be like, I don't need to tell anybody anything. I'm quite happy.
I'm the opposite.
You're a sharer. Yeah.
But I feel like that's like for most creators and people on camera, like that's part of the thing. Like,
oh, it is.
That's part of the gig.
It requires the person. Like there's a reason I'm not on camera and there's multiple reasons. And that's one of them. I'm not the type of person that needs to be out there. I'm a very weirdly, and I would never actually agree to this if it was a joke or, you know, messing around. I'm a very humble person.
I would agree.
I tend to not really care about the goings on. I mean, fuck, I don't even like care about like politics. I'm a very simple guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bern, we've been making this show for a while. I think that my favorite thing about Front Page Tech is not necessarily the tech stuff, but just that literally almost at the end of every single day, we can say we made something new. It wouldn't exist without us. We put something out there. And whether you love us or hate us for maybe 10 minutes out of your day, whether it was great or whether it was really shitty, we made you laugh for 10 minutes. That's what we did. And I'm only half of that story. And so I wanted to make sure that we got to talk to Bern and he got to talk to the fans. Cause I feel like you guys just don't hear from Bern much. So everyone should go follow Bern.
Yeah. Follow me, tweet to me. And for the record, if you it happens rarely, but when you fucking give me a 10-minute episode and I know it's going to be 10 minutes, I want to strangle you. That's so much content when you know to make.
That's one of the first, when I say I finish recording, he's like, easy show? Like,
and sometimes John sends back a no, ... and I go, oh, good. I'll rev up the suicide machine.
Everyone go to tweet Brian right now. We'll put a link to his Twitter down in the description below. Really just want to know, or I guess the show notes on podcast apps, but we're really curious to know what you thought of this episode. And unfortunately, there's no comments or anything like that. So you got to go elsewhere to let us know what you thought.
And
I hope that people learn more about Brian and gain some burn spect.
Yeah. And honestly, some respect on his name. Take solace in the fact and, you know, really consider this. If you tweet to me, I will read it, no matter how many tweets I get. I always, I would check every single comment. I used to check every comment on the show, but there's just too many anymore, and they're all full of toilet memes. So I read every tweet I get sent. So if you have any questions or concerns, fire away.
Okay, Bern, that's all I got for you. Thank you for doing this, and go turn on your air conditioning and be with your cats.
Dude, oh yeah, my cats, they're very mad at me. I'm just proud of myself for talking this long. We've been very out of practice.
I think I'm going to put it up tomorrow, I think.
Ooh. That would be, what, Saturday for all the people?
Yeah.
Yay. Yep. So if you're hearing this on Sunday, well...
You know what happened.
Something happened.
Okay. All right, everybody.
Fairly well.
Toodles.
Hey there! Thanks for listening to Recycle Bin. Did you enjoy the episode? Let us know by leaving us a review on your favorite podcast app, or come let us know on Twitter. The links to find us are all in the show notes.